You're listening to Nick's Knacks on KFKA, hosted by Nick Kenny. Nick is the executive director of the Greeley Philharmonic Orchestra and the 2020 Greeley Area Chamber Ambassador of the Year. Nick's Knacks also touches on local and global issues through Nick's perspective, offering unique insights into the world's happenings. Prepare to learn something new in this thought-provoking and entertaining show.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Nick's Knacks on 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's Voice. I am your host, Nick Kenny, and we are in the Auto Collision Specialist Studios in downtown Greeley. And I have a very special guest, and I don't know why I haven't had you on before, but it just seems perfect to have you on now, Miss Chalice Springfield.
Thank you so much for having me here today, Nick. I'm excited to be with you.
I'm so excited to have you. I was thinking about introductions for you, and all I can say is you are inimitable. That's the only word I can think of. You are inimitable.
I'm going to have to look it up when I get home.
It's I heard it first in the musical Hamilton.
Inimitable, yeah.
It's very, very unique.
I'm still looking it up. What does it mean?
Unique.
Okay, unique.
Unique. I'm sure there's more to the definition, but Leslie Odom's character in Leslie Odom Jr. in Hamilton sings, you know, I am inimitable, I am an original. And I like that.
I'm owning it.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
You are an original. You're Chalice Springfield. I don't know if I've met anybody in Greeley who doesn't know who you are.
It's hard to have a name like Chalice and, getting into any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. I tell you. But it's so nice to have you on. There's so much we can talk about. I mean, it's just a wide open door. But first, let's start with you, Chalice. Let's have our listeners learn who you are and how everyone knows your name in the community.
Oh, my gosh. I came to Greeley. I love Greeley, first of all. It's my home. I grew up in Colorado Springs and came here to go to UNC. And like many people, ended up staying after I graduated. Started a career in real estate when I was 19 at Sears Real Estate.
While you were in school at UNC.
Totally. To put myself through college. So worked full time and went to school full time. And really by accident, ended up staying in the real estate career. And just this last year in December, I left real estate after 29 years. I was the CEO of Sears Real Estate and am starting a whole new career and expanding my coaching and training business, but also going to start my new job next week at Sunrise Community Health as their director of communications and development. So I'm super excited about that. Something totally new.
That was a shockwave when you announced. I mean, there were some rumors late last year, but I heard Chalice is leaving Sears. What are they going to do? What's she going to do? And so thrilling to see your next steps in the nonprofit world. And Sunrise, tell us more about Sunrise and how this spoke to you after a 29-year career in real estate.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's really important to me, one of my core values is making a difference. I call it a mondo beyondo difference in the world. And, real estate makes a difference for people. You know, their housing, it's their shelter, it's a place, especially in 2020, right? I think people really got centered about how much home is a place of safety and comfort for us. And so that obviously makes a difference for people. I think Sunrise, as a community health provider, meeting people with health needs that may not be able to afford health care in our community is going to be a totally different type of making a mondo beyondo difference. So I'm excited to join their team, and I know they're already busy doing tons of vaccines and helping with the coronavirus and all kinds of health issues. So exciting.
Be a big pivot. But if there's anything you know, it's community relations and communications and you said development too, yes?
Yes, all of that.
That's the buzzword for nonprofits. Probably in the last, I don't know, decade or so. I say that like I was around at nonprofits 10 years ago. I was in college. But, you know, development's that thing everyone latches onto because it encompasses so much. And with that is relationships and connections and communicating and having that vision for a future, which you certainly do.
Right. It really is about connection, isn't it? Maybe I should change the title. Chief Connection Officer. You should have that.
I like that.
Connections.
There's when we were looking at an investment opportunity for how the Greeley Phil handles their investments, nonprofits, that's so rare because you operate on such a razor-thin budget, but you love for your nonprofits to be able to have those reserves, which so many are tapping into because of the pandemic. But they call it the controlling person who gets to decide what to do. I go, that's like Emperor Palpatine level of creating a title for yourself. But yeah, it's just somebody asked me today, like, Nick, what do you do? What's a normal week look like? I struggle to answer that.
Yeah.
I really do. It's different on every day. You know, yesterday I was planning a concert season, you know, going through music with a fine-tooth comb and the instrumentation, the costs, you know, just that big budget buildup for even one concert takes, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 full business days. And then you're off to budgeting. It's the end of the year taxes. You're trying to get thank you letters out. You're making phone calls. Mm-hmm. I mean, every week is different, and meetings upon meetings upon meetings upon meetings.
Yes, if you could get paid for going to meetings, you'd be a rich guy.
I really would.
Yeah.
At least I'm not driving to meetings anymore. I save a lot on gas money.
So true. And you can wear your sweatpants underneath the table.
Exactly.
It's all good.
I am wearing jeans today, though, after my third kickboxing class.
Nice.
I'm still kicking it. Ha ha.
Oh my gosh.
I can't recommend them enough. I got to bring them in as a sponsor for how much I talk about them as I'm recording this after a kickboxing class. So
I totally think you should.
I tell you, it's a great way to break up the day, get back to work, and I have all that energy. Little fatigue today. They kind of worked us extra hard. But just, have you ever done a kickboxing class?
I have never done a kickboxing class, although last week for the first time I did something called Pound. It's with drumsticks, and it's like a cardio workout. Go down low with the drumsticks, go high with the drumsticks. And I was basically like Frankenstein the next day, walking. Yeah, it was really great workout. So I can imagine what kickboxing would be like.
And you're also training for your percussion audition for the orchestra.
Well, yeah, right. Maybe for the kindergarten class.
We got something we could work on, I'm
okay,
sure.
Great.
There'll be a community involvement.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I don't know. There was a few years ago. It was something, my way to engage the audience in ways they haven't been engaged before. So we were doing Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and everyone knows Beethoven. You might not recognize it from the title, but dun-dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun-dun. And I gave kazoos to everyone in the audience to help with that portion of the performance. And never again.
Uh-oh.
Actually, it was a blast. It was so much
fun.
Our conductor did a great job of instructing the audience on what they should do in sound. And at the end of the day, the orchestra won with their caliber of production. But that would be another way to engage the audience, is to have them come back and play in the percussion section.
Right. Bring your own drumsticks. Bring your own drumsticks.
Drumsticks, yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
All right. We're going to have to work that in for when the orchestra has its grand return. So
hopefully
before
soon.
We dive into everything that you have to bestow your knowledge on us, Chalice, you've been in Greeley for quite a while. So especially in real estate, you've seen so many changes.
Yeah.
But what are some things that stick out most to, you know, memory wise in Greeley, and then how we fit into this northern Colorado community?
You know, one of the things I think I really love about Greeley is how it really does have a beautiful story of growing up. I mean, and you know, I've been here for 30 years, but then I think about, you know, people like the Toytons and the, you know, the Brickers, and people that have been here for so much longer that have probably even more of an understanding of the history. But I can remember when I first moved here with my husband, we got the first chain restaurant, which was Chili's, and we just thought we were so big time, right? And it was out west by the country club where it is still now. And, you know, people, it's so exciting. And that's exciting. But I think in terms of growing up, I think the downtown has become so vibrant, and you know, it didn't used to be that way. And so to see some of the changes and not being a wicked stepchild to all of northern Colorado makes my heart happy, because mm-hmm. I think Greeley is just the people here make all of that possible.
And that's something you can't create where you move. You can't create how other people are, how other business leaders or businesses interact with each other, how your neighbors interact. And that's one thing that drew me back to Greeley after mm-hmm. I moved away, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. I was in Fort Collins for a year and Loveland for a year. Granted, I had a very different career there.
Yeah.
So it might have been different now. But there's something about Greeley that just – it just draws you back. And I was telling the story even this morning. I've lived in Colorado. This is going to be my 10th year come August, packed up from Indiana and came all the way out here. 2 little sedans. My parents drove me out.
Gosh.
We packed all these things. It was like Tetris. I don't know how we brought all those things out when I came, and it was starting a brand new life. And
yeah.
I had no idea what the heck I was doing. I was just a grad student, and you know, you don't really know what you're doing when you pack up and move across the country. I didn't know I'd still be here 10 years later. But I was home, and if you leave home, you know, especially if it's states away, you know, you always have that thought of, did I do the right thing? When's it time to go home? you know, caring for parents or whatever that's like, missing family. And it wasn't until this past year I've really come into my own in Colorado and being really comfortable with who I am out here. And I was driving back this past year after visiting for Christmas, and I got stuck in Nebraska overnight for a snowstorm and, you know, was driving in some pretty treacherous roads for a little while. That second morning of driving, it's like, why did I do this? I should have just stayed in Indiana, grumble, weather. Not snow tires, small sedan, semis blowing past me. And it wasn't until I was back in Colorado and the skies just epically cleared up. And you saw the blue skies and I saw the mountains. And I had a calming effect over me that I've not experienced in years, if ever. I go, you know what? I am home.
Yeah.
This is home. Indiana's where I'm from. But Colorado, especially Greeley in northern Colorado, is home. And that was – I mean, it took me 10 years to feel that.
Right.
You pick your home, sort of, but I'm trying to come up with something profound, but I really can't.
What if you create it? I mean, don't you kind of create your home? Like,
you,
I mean, I don't
do.
Know. I think there's choices that we make that create home.
Mm-hmm.
Not just our physical structure, but relationships.
Yeah. I think I've done pretty well at that, you know.
I think you've done really well at that.
And yeah, Greeley's just such a special place in northern Colorado, and I will be a voice and an advocate for Greeley and NoCo for as long as I'm here, which could be forever. Who knows?
Let's do it, Nick.
Let's
forever.
Do it. We'll do it together.
Okay.
Stay tuned for more of Chalice Springfield. We have so much information coming at you here on 1310 KFKA.
When the rain's blowing in,
Nick Snacks here on 1310 KFKA here with Chalice Springfield. Nick Snacks is proudly sponsored by 477 Distilling, located in downtown Greeley. They have a new barrel release in just 2 days. It is their Root Barrel, which is their root beer bourbon.
Wow.
And it's tasty. It is very tasty.
You've already got to try it.
I have, yeah.
This is what happens when you're friends with a sponsor.
Yep. You know, I get some perks every now and again. And I'm not one for flavored bourbons. I think I've said that on the show before. But just the product he's putting out, what's great about that is it's not artificial flavoring.
Uh-huh.
You know, when they're doing their lemon drop, which is their version of limoncello, they peel 400 lemons per batch.
Wow.
And, I mean, that's dedication. You could just get some lemon extract, but they are not quitters. Great product. I love supporting them. And this Friday, make sure you check them out on Facebook to see this. If you're a root beer fan, I think this could go great in some root beer floats. You don't even have to wait until summertime because
winter root beer floats.
Yeah.
I love it.
You need ice cream. It's still sunny in Colorado most of the time. So every now and again, it feels a little toastier than it really is.
Let's go for it.
That's one thing that's also about what I love about Colorado and Greeley, the sunshine.
360 days a year, practically.
Mm-hmm. At least for a little glimpse of it, a little peek. And the snow melts so quickly and nice. Oh, it's a very different place in the Midwest.
Agreed. Yep.
You don't ever – well, you rarely do see that snow that you'd see in Chicago, Illinois, Indiana that's there for weeks and weeks and weeks and eventually looks like a chunk of coal by the time it finally melts.
The ice that never melts all winter long,
mm-hmm.
right? Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, Chalice, let's talk. It's 2021. We were setting goals and chatting with goals a few weeks ago with some guests, Jamie Anderson and Matt Ostrin.
Awesome. Yep.
There's so many good connectors in this community. But I just registered for your class, and I want to learn, get a little inside scoop on what I'm going to learn and how people can make 2021 the best year yet. I know we're looking at challenges. Nothing about the past 10 months has been easy. Nothing in the past, I don't know, decade has been, you know, easy with the rise and fall of so much with jobs and you know, the market and, you know, just the uncertainties of daily life. But it's all a mindset, too.
True.
And I'm my mindset is to make 2021 a really good year. So I joined your Sherpa and Accountability Program class. How did that start?
Yeah, so I have been in coaching groups for a long time myself personally, just to, I think, squeeze the juice out of the orange or the lemon, whatever it might be, with my own goals. Because, you know, they've found that people that are in an accountability group or have accountability to somebody else, have written goals, but second of all, have accountability to other people, have just a phenomenally higher increase, about 65% more success with their goals than if they just were doing it on their own. And so for me, it's always really been not only professionally, but also personally, a great way to connect with what I would consider kind of a board of directors, you know, people that can help me see my blind spots, people that can help me get over those humps when I'm not really very motivated or don't want to do it. So that's about 2 years ago, I created a group that would do this on a larger scale. I was doing coaching, accountability training individually, lots of workshops. And I thought, well, what if I train people how to do that? And so launched the Sherpa Coaching and Accountability Group with the thought that, you know, Tenzing Norgay led Sir Edmund Hillary, right? And he didn't get all the credit that he was the Sherpa that led him up Mount Everest. And so I just love that concept of really being the support behind what people are up to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the program got started.
Fun fact. A little Nick Snacks, if you will.
Please.
This is just a personal story. When I studied in New Zealand for a few weeks in my undergraduate career or schooling, Sir Edmund passed away, and they were having a huge ceremony for him in Auckland. We didn't end up making it because I think we were in the southern part of the North Island during that time, but it was fascinating. The Queen of England was supposed to come and pay her respects. I don't know if she actually did, but that was all over the news, and I knew Tenzing's name from the musical The Producers, when they have a line about what did Tenzing say to Sir Edmund as he hovered toward Everest Peak. But I love the Sherpa. I like to think that by this time next year, when I finish your class, I'll be standing atop my Everest.
Right. I mean, I think if it was ever needed, I think it's needed in 2021. It was probably needed in 2020, but we had to cancel class, wasn't ready to go virtual. This one's going to be totally virtual. And by the way, more fun on Zoom than you've ever had. I'm just really committing that it won't be a workshop where you're bored, you know, for 3 hours thinking, oh, I want this to be done. To really have it be an interactive, not TV experience. You know, we've done enough numbing with TV. I think it's imperative that we now connect with one another. And so that's the intent of it.
I like to think of accountability, and so I love those statistics. 65% more are accomplished when they have that accountability partner. But it doesn't have to be CEOs and business leaders, you know, those who are reaching for the stars. This can be anybody of any walks of life. And how do you excite them to get accountable, even though it might not seem like they're doing much? Anything you can do to better yourself is just such a great step or even leap forward.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I really love about this program is it meets people wherever they're at. So in the first year that I did it, one of my favorite stories was this gal, and I didn't know this until the very last night when we did a sort of a celebration ceremony. She gets up and she says, I'm just really happy to have accomplished this program. This is the first time in my life, she's probably in her 40s, I've ever set goals. And she was one of the most accomplished, you know, individuals in the program, not a CEO. She was certainly a CEO of her own business, an entrepreneur, solopreneur, really. And it was heartwarming to know that this program could meet her where she was at, never having done this process, show her how to set goals, show her how to stay accountable, and then have the support mechanisms to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So encouraging.
Now, I'm in an interesting position. It's just me in the office, and it's hard to, bounce ideas off of myself to an empty room. and then home is the same space.
Right,
like,
exactly.
When I'm starting to hear answers, I start getting concerned because then some weird concerts get programmed.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But how did the when you're in a position like that, I mean, it can be intimidating to put yourself out there for folks who don't know you. Sometimes you can go with your coworkers and have accountability programs or a friend group or a leadership class when you get these little pods of people together. What about those who are entrepreneurs or solopreneurs who don't have that sounding board or a board of directors that, like you said earlier, could could help you discover things about yourself you didn't quite know. So how do you get them to step out of that comfort zone?
Yeah, I think, you know, we really have to build a safe place from the get-go. And so there's confidentiality, and we talk about the power of vulnerability. And, you know, each time I've created this program, it has really worked. The magic dust has happened with vulnerability and confidentiality. And even more so, I think what you were saying earlier, Nick, is the power of different perspectives. You know, people from all walks of life that are in this program that you can get feedback from.
Mm-hmm. It's when you said there's that creative dust. And to me, it's like if I'm making a breakfast casserole and I'm at the point where I'm trying to cook enough that I don't want to be using recipe books and recipe cards and swiping on my iPad for it to dim out. And then my hands are covered in gunk and I'm getting my iPad all dirty. I just crying out loud.
No magic dust in that.
Yeah. And I don't like measuring things either. But it's something that, well, I don't know exactly what I'm making with all these ingredients, but I know that these ingredients are going to make something good. And that's kind of what I hear you saying is you don't know who's coming into this class and what their walks of life are, whether they've never made goals before or they're a seasoned expert that just want to take that extra step. You don't know what that dust is getting thrown into those ingredients, those creative minds. But I think, would you say that product is going to be phenomenal when
done? Yes. Every time somebody's registered, we have a good handful of people. We're about halfway full already. It starts on February 11th, and so we have a little ways to go. But I'm so excited about the class that's already forming. Magic dust, indeed.
I can't wait. And we'll get more information on that. Actually, as we wrap up this, where can they go to learn more about the Sherpa and Accountability Program?
Yeah, so if you just go to the website, my Unstoppable Curiosity website, there's all the information on there, and you can register.
All right. That's unstoppablecuriosity.com to see all the great things that Chalice does. We'll be back with more of Chalice in just a few moments here on Nick's Next.
You're giving me a million reasons to quit the show. You're giving me a million reasons. Give me a million reasons. Giving me a million reasons. About a million reasons. If I had a highway, I would run for the hills. If you could find a dry way, I'd forever be still. But you're giving me a million. Give me a million reasons, giving me a million reasons, about a million reasons.
Welcome back to Nick Snacks on 1310 KFKA here in the Auto Collision Specialists Studios. We've had not much snow this year, but if you do find yourself in a little wreck, need to get some bumpers fixed, Auto Collision Specialists are where you should go.
And do you know they have a cat mascot? Crash. My husband takes care of their plants over there, and Crash is the best cat ever. Lives there.
Oh.
I'm just saying. You should. Nick Snacks about Auto Collision Specialists.
Yes, I need to have them on. They're great supporters of the orchestra. They're great supporters of the community. They are. Mike and Deb Morris, wonderful people.
Good people. Yep.
But and we've just got a great community here, as we've been talking about and boasting all day. So, Chalice, I see you have notes, and I think for the last segment, I'm going to throw a curveball, and we'll have a really good discussion.
Great.
I hope.
Put them away.
No, but we can talk about the notes now, because I want to learn from Chalice. If I could just sit here and absorb all the wisdom that you have, and our listeners too, to help make 2021 the best year possible. But I don't know. We didn't rehearse this, so
we didn't.
What question do you want me to ask you, Chalice?
I don't know if I have a question. I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you have one goal already in mind for 2021?
I do, and it's a lofty one.
Okay.
I want to write a book.
Write a book? Yeah. You have an idea for it?
I do.
Complete the book in 2021? Start it? All of the above?
I'd like to try to complete it. It's not going to be a long one. I'm not looking at, you know, a 200-300 pager. Just as a kind of a young professional's guide to, I don't know, come into your own and discover yourself and how you can serve your community. And I guess we'll just dive right into this, what I was going to say for the last one. But I was having a great conversation last Friday. We were doing a photo shoot at the distillery for some marketing, and connected with Chris Garcia, who works at UNC. And he and I, you know each other professionally from around town and some other events. And we were talking about, you know, your brand. You know, what is your brand? And I think as much as all of us would like to label ourselves with what brand we are, that's just not the case. And what he said that really stuck with me, and I've been thinking about it almost, you know, anytime I have a moment for my brain to be free for a thought, which is very rare, which is your brand is what people say about you when you leave the room.
Yes, very interesting.
And I've stopped to think. I go, wow, that's deep. And then I was thinking every time I see somebody, what are they saying about me when I leave the room?
What do you think they are?
Today was probably, why did he wear cologne to kickboxing? Because I knew I had to come here afterwards.
And why is he limping out? Yeah. What's happening?
Is he okay? Is he going to make it to his car?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like to. It's hard to think about that. It's really because everyone's self-conscious. We worry about what people think. And I think that's one thing I like is I've kind of separated that. This comes out kind of crass. I do care what people think about me. I really do. But I won't let that impact the decisions that I make.
Right.
Which is hard to overcome. I mean, I don't know when it clicked for me, but finally, if I believe in what I'm doing, if I'm passionate about what I'm doing, if I'm informed about what I'm doing, sometimes, and, you know, especially as a leader, those decisions aren't always going to be recognized by all parties. And it's just the nature of humans. We've had disagreements since we could first grunt right. to one another. And we create drama. If there's more than one human in the room, there's instant drama, sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But I've been thinking, like, what is that brand? And I'd like to think that if I leave a room, they would say I'm authentic.
Yeah,
I'm genuine. Well, that's a synonym of authentic.
Positive, energetic,
caring, community oriented.
Yeah,
not a fake.
Yeah, I think you're a person of increase. That's what I try to be. Like, you know, a person of increase that's not just about yourself. You mm-hmm. know, and I always get that about you. That, you know, it's like, what kind of emotional deposit or what kind of help can you give somebody else, and not in the way that is trying to get something out of it. That's mm-hmm. what I appreciate about you.
I think that's exactly what I feel like I'm doing. Because sometimes it looks, people are like, well, now I'm in the spotlight. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I give. Mm-hmm. I give and give and give and give, and it's because I fell in love with this community, with the mountains, you know, volunteering in the National Park Service, you know. And I think if there's something you're passionate about, I mean, you can, it's almost like you have unlimited energy when you do find that passion.
Yeah.
And you will do whatever it takes to be the best at what you're doing or to make time for it. And I'm in a fortunate situation, you know, I'm single and don't have children and some of those other things that might limit my free time. So I'm taking full advantage of that. Which is something I didn't do in my early 20s. I felt like school was the thing that needed the most attention or work needed the most attention. And now I'm much more whole person when I have my outlets for that which I'm passionate about.
Don't you think back on what Chris said about, you know, your brand is what people say when you're out, when you step outside of the room, that true alignment or true integrity is when the brand matches who you feel like you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's when I think it's cool when people say, oh yeah, Nick's a person of increase. And you go, yeah, thanks. Right? Like that's an alignment with who you really are instead of, oh, so-and-so's a taker or so-and-so, you know, like maybe something that's not in alignment with who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sweet spot, I think.
Do you think people should talk about this more? I think this, mm-hmm. you know, I have one of the biggest fears in my life is death.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just the unknown of, you know, what's, you know, whatever you believe happens when you take your last breath is, well, one, what's my legacy I leave behind? Will I have a family? Will I have this or that? But also just that I don't want to be living a life that I don't think is fake, you know. So if there's a eulogy at my service, maybe I'm being launched from a cannon in Rocky Mountain National Park, and my dust will scatter everywhere and create new life for
new
all the
magic, yes. all the magic dust again.
You know, I'm constantly wondering what will people say, and maybe that's not healthy to wonder that, but I think that helps me to make hopefully what I think are the right decisions in my career and in my life. But I think it might be healthy, too, for people to talk about that a little more often, because right. if for some reason I didn't think I was living up to what the community or people or my peers that I highly respect, yourself included, of course.
Thank you.
If they would say something that I don't think I am, I think I'd want to know that so I can be a little more aware. But it's really hard for people to talk about, one, themselves, and then, two, other people in a kind of a constructive and maybe sometimes critical way.
Yeah, I was just listening to a podcast by Brené Brown, and she had the infamous Jim Collins on, who wrote the book Good to Great. Mm. And he's just written a new book. But he was talking about – they were both talking about how values are so important, and that if we can understand what are some of our – and it's probably a little bit trite – our core values are. But, you know, what are our motivators? And your motivators are different than my motivators or my values, but that's the ruler that we measure everything by. And so if it doesn't fit along the value continuum, it doesn't align, and it's maybe not worth your time. Maybe it's not worth your attention. It's not worth your effort. And not that there's some things that we have to do that are maybe not in alignment, but generally has to fit within that.
Right.
But I don't think we talk about it enough.
No, I think we should.
I do too. We're going to talk about it in the class.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And I think core values can change. I know I'm not who I was 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 12 years ago or more. And I think to be able to shift that. And I mean, when I was in college, I thought this was the path. This is what I had to do. When I was in high school, it was the same way. Grad school, this is what you had to do. And then I got to the real world. I said, that's not what I have to do. I can do what I want. You can't really do what you want. You know, I can't just take all the vacations I want and go tour the world and just go into debt.
What if you could? I mean, like, what if there really it was all possible at mm-hmm. some point, right?
I want to play hockey.
Yeah.
I play hockey. I want to volunteer. I do this. I think that's just so freeing. And, I mean, you're only here once. Might as well have the funnest. I'm just making up a word.
Yeah, the funnest. I think funnest. So. Agreed.
Funnest life you could envision for yourself.
My husband and I were talking this last year because 2020 was, you know, I think for everybody, all the people I talked to was like, my goals went to hell in a handbasket. And, you know, really focusing on what we still can do. And I think that's part of what 2021 is going to have to be about. What can we still do and what can we make work? Because mm-hmm. there's maybe 900 things we can't do, but there's still 1,000 things we can.
Yeah.
Let's get busy on the 1,000.
It's that reframing.
Yeah.
My very first guest was Rachel Slick, who's a mental health therapist, and just it's all mindset.
Yeah.
Reframe. How can you turn this negative into a positive? Which is hard to do. I mean, so hard to do. But I think 2020 hopefully has taught us how to use those skills for this year, which is going to be all of our years.
It's our
year. I know it right now.
I know it for you. I know it for you and for me.
It's going to be exciting. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more Nick Snacks in just a moment. Welcome back to Nick Snacks. And Bruno Mars is singing about the Greeley Philharmonic Orchestra right then and there. I want you back.
We do want you back.
We will be back. we're at that stage now of starting to plan our return. And, our slogan a couple years ago was Old Orchestra, New Attitude. And we're an older orchestra now with a newer attitude. an attitude that... we got to find out how to recover after a global pandemic. So I'm so excited for what's coming. I hope to be able to make some announcements very soon. But
and waiting with anticipation.
I just got really giddy, or it's just the lactic acid building up my legs, and I'm struggling to move.
Darn kickboxing!
Seriously, try it out. It's a blast, everyone. Your first one's free at the Greeley Kickhouse, and that's the only plug I should get until I get some sponsorship dollars for them. But. It's great to hit some things.
Move your body.
I think I said either last week or who knows. I say a lot of things all the time. In hockey, I get hit by things, which is nice. But I don't get to be a player and actually shoot pucks at people. So I needed something, and kickboxing balances that so well.
It's good. Good thing to have on your goal list.
Yeah.
That you're already starting now.
So I like this only for the mindset of a goaltender in hockey or soccer. And I got a little plaque that's on my desk, and it's a cutout of a goalie, and it says, my only goal is to deny yours.
Oh, wow.
And that's just such a mind shift of what I do in my real world life and how my mind normally works. But when I'm on the ice, my only goal is to deny yours.
That's, yes. I a friend of mine used to have this hockey puck on his desk that said, skate to where the puck will be. And I like that maybe better for goal setting, right? It's like, hey, think about where you want to be and skate there, not here today.
Yeah.
Right.
I do like that.
Don't deny my goals.
No, I won't. I am an empowerer of all the goals and setting goals.
But not in hockey.
No, not in hockey. True. Now, if I'm skating out, of course I want to, you know, have more goals. But that doesn't happen much anymore.
Good analogy. Yeah.
So with goals, I know one hang up is, you know, some people come with a blank piece of paper to start the new year. They set all these goals, and within the first week, month, they miss one. And that just instantly deflates them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, you could look at goals both ways. So how do you set that for goal setting for people to not just get discouraged if they don't reach them or they don't reach them quickly enough? Although granted, if they're working with you, Chalice, I can't imagine people not hitting their goals.
Thank you.
But for those who aren't taking classes or don't have those accountability partners, how do you keep yourself going if you miss that goal just once?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of goal setting is breaking it down so you're moving the needle from 1 to 2. And I think so many people want to move it from 1 to 10 in the first try. You know, you go to a workout session or something, you think, I'm not going to be sore when I leave. Well, that's not the intent of the workout session, right? Even if you've mastered the workout session, then they put another weight on or they change the session so that your body is moving in a different way. And so thinking about how to move the needle and having the tools to move it from 1 to 2, your brain responds to that. So breaking it down into smaller chunks, starting at a 10,000 foot view of here's all the goals I'd like to accomplish this year. But then people kind of get overwhelmed. I even get overwhelmed when I first set my goals. It's like, oh my gosh, I got to get started on all of these on January 2nd or whatever day it might be. And instead break it down into a 90-day plan. And then, when you meet with your monthly partner or even if you don't have a partner or not in a class, it's like, what do I want to accomplish this month? What do I want to accomplish this week? And that's moving the needle from 1 to 2 instead of 1 to 10. And then your brain shuts down because it's an overwhelm.
Mm-hmm. I go back and forth. I love reading about different philosophies of goal setting or list making or how do you spend your day. It used to be I was making a list of everything. And then the realities of my job set in says, I can't get all this stuff done. And then you already feel behind the next day and then more behind the next day. And somebody even this weekend in a board meeting said, every time I have to make a list, the first thing on that list is make a list so they have something to cross off.
I love it.
And that's just such a small mind trick. And I like making lists on weekend. If I'm cleaning the house and I have to do a deep clean, then I'll make a list because it helps to remind me. But I also am getting so much better at time blocking.
Yeah.
And using this time for this project. And then if I finish early, fantastic. If it bleeds over a little bit, that's not the end of the world. I'm also cautious to not set too many goals.
Yeah. Well, because I think your brain does get in a little bit overwhelmed and people think that they can multitask. And really, the sadness about multitasking is it doesn't really work.
It's something like what Ron Swanson says in Parks and Rec. When you're multitasking, you're kind of half-assing a couple things. Although I do think those that have an edge are musicians.
Oh.
Because not only are you worrying about what you're playing, the notes you're reading, the fingerings you're putting down on your instrument, you're also listening to what your section mates are playing, the entire brass section. You're looking at the conductor. You're anticipating what's happening next. So I think musicians, dancers, really have the best abilities to multitask.
Well, and I think you can pair tasks together, walking and listening to a podcast or cleaning your house and listening to an audiobook or doing emails while you're on a webinar. There's something that's going to suffer, right? Mm-hmm. And so it depends on what you're multitasking probably.
You're typing out, what somebody else is reporting on a Zoom call into the email without knowing
right.
it.
Oh my gosh, you hit send. What did I just do, right?
Exactly, which has been challenging for, Zoom is you're so tempted to tap in to that extra email you can send or you chip away at something else on your to-do list. But you get the most out of it when you're engaged and active. And that's what you just said it. We heard it on Nick's Snacks that it's going to be the most exciting Zoom.
I am committed to it 100%.
I'm stoked.
Well,
we're going to have a report after that first class.
I hope
class.
So. Yeah, you let me know. Keep it interactive. But I think part of that is also on the participants, right? Mm-hmm. It's a commitment to can't just be one person holding up the room. It's 40 people that are holding up the room. So, it'll be reliant on you. So we'll for sure have a report after.
On Nick's Snacks, we'll have a recap. And I will say that was the best Zoom meeting I've ever had.
I hope so.
One thing I liked when Matt was on a few weeks ago, and I know you listened to that that show earlier, was that he doesn't set goals. He sets experiences.
Right.
Which
he had seven.
Yeah.
He wanted to have seven new things. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great.
I think that's, so if you're listening and you're not much of a goal setter, but you do want to try something new this year or experience something different, that's another really cool way. I hiked a 14er for the first time last year.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And I like hiking, but I'd never tried a 14er. I've been here at that point 9 years, and we did a Bierstadt, and holy moly, that kicked my butt.
Yeah.
And I was glad I did it. So
you felt really accomplished.
This year, I want to experience two 14ers.
Right. Experiences.
Yes.
I think it kind of goes back to, whether you're setting one goal, seven experiences, intentions. I love this quote. It says, "In the absence of clearly defined goals, we become strangely loyal to performing daily acts of trivia." So whether it's, this year, all I want to do is hike one 14er, or I want to have seven experiences, or you have a long list of things you want to accomplish, don't just do the trivia. Do what's in your heart that you really want to experience and leave a legacy, or do it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for your family.
Yeah. And do it by yourself. Find a friend. One thing I've been a little more vocal on social media is, hey, I have an idea. Just today about a book club for professional development. It was just an idea, and then seeing how many people might have been thinking about this but didn't know what steps to take. And I'm not a shy person, so I'll just post something out there. And so far it has a lot of traction, and I'm a little overwhelmed. But I'm excited that it just takes that one little nudge or that one
yes. Yeah. One person to say yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the great part about this group is that a lot of people approach me and say, I'd love to have an accountability group, but I haven't been able to get five people together. I haven't been able to get three people together. This, you could just plug in.
Mm-hmm.
It'll get created for you, even if you don't know anybody in the whole group. Be brave and go for it.
And it's half filled. That is the Sherpa and Accountability Program by Chalice Springfield. Visit unstoppablecuriosity.com and you can learn all about it. We hope to see you in our first class on February 11th.
February 11th, it's starting.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. You've heard it right here. The most exciting Zoom call you've ever been on.
There you go.
Well, folks, thanks so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed tonight's show with special guest Chalice Springfield. Stay tuned next week for an all-new Nick Snacks here on 1310 KFKA, and that's our cutoff.